Reflection 3. Base Protocols. Protocols are the foundational networks for governing interactions. They form the processes that enable harmonious coordination in systems, while languages are the expressive tools that communicate or implement these protocols. Protocols ensure fair and meaningful exchanges, while languages provide the content. In this reflection, we explore economic protocols intrinsic to living systems, explaining how they are used to create trust, sustain relationships, and ensure balance. We will also look at how these protocols have been misused and disrupted, and what it takes to return to symbiotic relationships. Just as the DNA of plants and fungi encode rules for interaction, and the laws of physics shape physical reality, protocols express economic rules that can maintain shared well-being. What is seeded? What belongs in the network? What is valuable? Each individual person, family, or group knows what is valuable to them. These things may be recognized as moral, beautiful, secure, trustworthy, and so on. They may be goods and services offered, wanting, and/or needed. This selection of valuable things is what we might call a curation. There are many types of curation. Ecosystems and even families can be seen as curations. Your favorite restaurants can be considered curated. Whenever we formalize a group of valuable things, we are curating. Both organic and human social curations are expressions of life organizing itself to sustain and thrive. Just as ecosystems curate relationships between plants, fungi, and animals in order to share resources and balance ecosystems, human societies curate communities. If you are offering someone something valuable like your time and services, since giving someone your time is not something you will ever get back, you may want to be explicit as to what kinds of goods and services you expect in return, over what time period, and so on. Should you want continued exchange over time, this curation of your valuable goods and services and those that you desire is the beginning of an economic commons and can be seen as a fledgling, intangible living system. If you make an agreement that you will exchange your apples for carrots, we can imagine this as a simple bilateral pool, or a commons of two types of offerings. Within this agreement space, commitments to provide apples could be seeded in and can be removed with commitments to provide carrots on a one-to-one basis. This type of agreement can break easily. What happens if no one wants the apples? What happens if there are not enough carrots or apples for the next time? Bilateral pools can continue to thrive when there is a huge abundance of both items, but they can also stagnate if those two items are not being exchanged for each other. It would be a coincidence if someone with excess carrots wanted to exchange them for apples. The curation of valuable things need not be so brittle. Increasing the diversity of what is on offer and what is needed is important. If the bilateral commons above were to grow to accept bananas, then bananas and carrots could be exchanged in the pool without touching apples. This cross-exchange within a commons builds abundance through efficiency and possibilities for creations and synergies, and decentralizes any particular resource, while reducing the need for people's wants to coincide. Remember the magic calabash. Physical goods and services were not enough to restore the magic calabash. What happens if this physical store is destroyed or comes under restrictive centralized control? The answer in the magic calabash story was that the store or pool was made up of records or memories of commitments for future resources rather than purely the resources themselves. Economic protocols are sets of agreements that establish a place for agents, people, plants, fungi, etc., to pool and exchange valuable things, services, nutrients, seeds, or commitments. Our ancient ancestors were not storing huge amounts of food or tools in one space. Instead, they were able to call upon these tools, resources, and services when they needed them, by exchanging commitments. Imagine an Amazon warehouse where the products are stored in the small homes and shops of those who make them. They may not even have been created yet. Instead of storing the actual products to ship, the warehouse is just a ledger of trusted commitments to provide those products. This is more like the way networks of families and clans operated, as well as networks of plants and fungi and trees. Quote, "I store my meat in the belly of my brother." That's from a hunter of the Piraha people in the Brazilian rainforest. It's not that these people were extremely generous, nor that physical storage wasn't available. They were following some core, probably ancient, protocols. They were part of a long-term reciprocal network in which individuals could store on behalf of the group, or pool, and also in their social infrastructure, their willingness to offer goods and services in the future. The choice of what is stored in this space of emotion, memory, and reputation, we will again call a curation. So here, we enter more fully into the intangible commons of a pool of commitments. Definition of a curation. This is the process of selecting, organizing, and managing the various commitments to provide resources that are included in the pool. These could be commitments to days of labor in a village, commitments to specific products like a quantity of roofing materials, apples, mud, and so on. The languages or schemas in which commitments are expressed and evaluated are important, and we will return to these later. Beyond curating what is allowed into the common pool, the pool stewards perform a valuation of the relative value of each item in the curation. This may look like a price. When one neighbour comes to your mueria bringing one cup of water, while another neighbour works the entire day, are these two things of equal value? How would you know how to reciprocate? There are many ways to value things relative to each other, and in cases where there is no corresponding valuation, those things may not belong in the same pool. Definition of valuation. Expressing the value of each item in the curation establishes their relative exchange value, otherwise known as price. This set of relative values also provides an intrinsic unit of account. For example, a community holding a pool, in their memory, accountability, or rules, says that two carrots need to be exchanged to receive one apple or one banana from the pool. One apple can also be exchanged for one banana. This may be changed as needed by the pool stewards, taking into account factors such as seasonality, for example. This is where limitation is important. Valuation is often not enough to ensure balance. A pool with no limits, using only valuation to promote flow in a pool, often turns into a speculative, market-driven system. If apples are being added to the pool for the purpose of pulling out carrots, we may want to limit the number of apples that can be added so we are not overwhelmed by them. We could do this by changing the relative value of apples, as there are more apples and fewer carrots. This is often called a bonding curve. Or we could simply specify the maximum number of apples we want at the current valuation. Definition of limitation. Limitation specifies the maximum quantity of each commitment that can go into the pool. This is one way for the community to ensure that there isn't an overabundance of any one resource. Let's say someone has many carrots. As the pool is defined, they can never put in more than 20 carrots, unless the pool stewards, i.e., the community of people holding the pool, change the agreement. There is one final protocol function, exchange. The exchange function establishes how, when, and with what caveats the commitments can be exchanged for each other based on their relative value and up to their defined limits. The specifics of how exchange works can be very simple or nuanced. Let's imagine two ways in which a commitment can be added to a pool. 1. Seeding. A commitment can be formally expressed, like a written contract or a witnessed oath, and held by the pool, in a file, a database, or collective memory. This is what we have been referring to as seeding. 2. Swapping. Alternatively, it can be added to pull something already in the pool out at a fair value. We can call this a swap. For example, if an apple commitment comes into the pool, it could swap out a carrot commitment that was already there. There could also be a requirement that, for each of these seeds or swaps, a small amount of apple or carrot commitments must go to support the pool's stewards. One could think of this as feeding the mycorrhizal fungi, or the magic calabash, or as a simple form of taxation for using the communal services. This simple example covers a basic set of rules or functions with economic protocols. These protocol functions could be implemented or expressed in many ways and languages, depending on the implementing technology, the capacity of the community, its cultural context, and their legal or rule-based environment. A protocol-supporting environment. These core protocol functions are merely doing what happens intrinsically within biological living systems. For them to function properly in a human social environment, that environment or habitat must also support them. If we think of these protocol functions, curation, valuation, limitation, and exchange, as creating a space or organ within the body of society, then to sustain these functions consistently, we must consider the enabling environments that nurture their operation. Historical accounting or memory. The ability to take previous states for accountability is necessary. In biological systems, this memory is stored in systems like DNA and in memory systems across fungal networks. In human societies, memory is stored across multiple dimensions: in our emotions and subconscious associations, in our brains through neural connections, in the stories and oral traditions passed down through generations, and in external records such as ledgers, written documents, artworks, monuments, and digital archives. This layered storage allows for collective accountability and the continuity of knowledge. Proof of identity, authentication, and permissions. Who is liable to fulfill or able to exchange which formalized commitments? In biological systems, proteins are encoded to interact very specifically with each other. In human systems, pools are defined by boundaries shaped by history, trust, and utility, deciding what is included or excluded. Stewardship. How are decisions made for curation and pool usage? How are pools seeded and the operations of the system enacted or executed? In biological systems, these rules are also written into DNA. With human systems, we take on roles of stewardship. We will look later at how different mediums enable the protocols to be expressed in different ways. Digital operating systems, virtual machines and digital decentralized ledger environments can enable pooling to happen across agents, space, and time in ways that differ from both biological and ancient human networks. Overlapping of pools. What if I value my apples and commit to providing them when given carrots, and, as well, you value your carrots and will allow people to exchange them for bananas? This arrangement can be expressed as two simple, separate bilateral pools that connect to each other through a common resource commitment, in this case, carrots. If one were to exchange some apple commitments for carrot commitments in the first pool, those carrot commitments could again be used to exchange for banana commitments in a second pool, which could then be redeemed for bananas. These overlapping curations with a resource in common have the potential to span across a network and can define common mutual services. In the communities I live among, each family is part of many Mueria-like groups. This means that one family may have commitments as well as a reputation that transcends many different groups of neighbours. These commitments connect across families and clans for many purposes: childcare, education, farming, house construction, emotional support, weddings, funerals, and so on. In order for commitments to be shared across clans, a single pool isn't enough. Apart from anything else, it would create many types of centralization problems. This kind of interconnectivity is, of course, what we see among root and fungal systems as well, a system in which mutual offers and debts can continuously balance or clear each other out. A network of overlapping curations can also form something resembling a neural network, in which the most common offerings, in this case carrots, that connect each pool form network hubs, like the strongest neurons. Note that the exchange of carrots for apples could occur simultaneously or be delayed for some weeks until the apples are ready, or could even be a gift, all depending on how the curation, valuation, limitation, and exchange functions are implemented or expressed. Overlapping pools connect resources, commitments, and relationships across diverse spaces. Enclosed bioregional spaces, they enable sustainable exchanges of natural resources like water or food. In emotional and cultural spaces, they build trust and support shared traditions. In project-based spaces, they drive sustainable collaborative endeavors like housing or cooperative businesses. Pools also encompass intangible resources such as skills and knowledge, creating decentralized learning and work networks. Rather than forming massive centralized networks, in healthy systems, these protocols thrive on many smaller circles connecting over shared commitments. Each pool steward, as an individual or group, curates its own offerings, and overlap emerges naturally, just as neighboring forests might share fungal connections at the boundary. The horizontal approach means no single pool grows too big or powerful, while still allowing inter-pool exchange. When this is unrestricted, participants can simply start a fresh pool and link to existing ones if and when they choose. Overlapping pools gain their power from the simple fact that people can connect through whatever they both value. No single entity or formal organization is required. In the example above, there are two separate pools, one exchanging commitments A for C, the others exchanging C for B. Different individuals or groups may steward each pool, but they become linked via the shared resource, C, carrots. That shared value, much like a friendship, creates a non-zero-sum connection, a big win-win that benefits both sides without forcing them under one ownership structure. This logic also applies to community. It's not a single entity that can be owned, but rather an overlapping network of mutual values. In such a network, there's no need for corporations. Stewardship is what you are responsible for, and link up when others value the same resource. So long as everyone sees value in the link, all parties gain. Together, overlapping pools create resilient, multi-layered systems in which trust and reciprocity flow like nutrients in an interconnected ecosystem. We can imagine the space of connected pools spanning across many different types of value and forming into a larger living ecosystem. As we zoom out, we can look at the overlap between Weria across neighbours, villages and clans, and we can also zoom in to see the overlap between all the pools of commitments of each individual family which form a Weria. The same can be seen in nature, where each plant and each fungus has its own individual curation and exchange network, which overlap to form an ecosystem. Expressions of commitment. We've talked about curating and exchanging valuable things. In the case of human society, our ability to make commitments to or about valuable things helps us create common pools of commitments that can build trust and adaptability in resource coordination, like a magic calabash. Let's look at the many forms commitments can take and apply them to a wide range of goods and services, as well as certificates, which we will talk about below. A commitment is a strong promise, an expressed intention that requires an investment of resources or reputation by the promiser. Trust is built through the interdependence, fulfillment, and flow of commitments. Commitments to future delivery, promises of action. These are forward-looking promises to deliver a specific good or service at a later time. They create binding intentions that obligate the user to deliver in the future. Formalizations can include vouchers, contracts, tokens, bus tickets, subscriptions, IOUs, and many more. They align planning, coordination, and shared efforts within a community or network. A group can pool commitments to future deliveries, such as pledges of labour, resources, or goods, to create a shared resource that participants can draw from as needed. A subscription can also be thought of as a formalised commitment. It is a proof of right that you, the authenticated holder, can use to access some specific resources over time, like a gym membership. A bus ticket or even airline reward points can similarly be regarded as formalized commitments. My mother holds at least 5 or more forms of store loyalty points, all of which are commitments of various businesses. We can also think about credit and debt in relation to commitments. A commitment created by someone can be accepted and held by someone else. This is akin to giving your word or a promise while also holding someone to their promise. In effect, those who hold the commitment, who have accepted the promise, can be said to be in credit or to have credit, and the one who made the commitment is in debt or has debt. Put another way, those in credit are expecting a commitment to be fulfilled, and the person making the commitment has an obligation to fulfill it. The commitment itself can be seen to have the intrinsic potential to pull apart into credit and debt. This tension between credit and debt is like the tension of a rubber band that is being stretched, pulling the commitment into two parts. The tension that seeks a resolution is a space formed by an agreement, which is in effect the overlapping of the two parties' commitments and corresponding expectations. National currency, commonly referred to as money or simply currency, functions as a formalized commitment, primarily redeemable by the state for tribute or tax obligations, and in some cases for state services. When the state and banking systems issue increasing supplies of money without clear or adequate commitments to corresponding goods, services, or value in the economy, the system is at risk of overissuance. This imbalance can lead to inflation, a decline in the purchasing power of money, where the public bears the cost through higher prices for goods and services. While inflation can arise from multiple factors, including supply chain disruptions, speculative behaviors, or external shocks, excessive money issuance without a foundation of tangible value exacerbates this erosion of trust and utility in the currency. Note that the state is not alone here. The risk of overissuance or overcommitment can happen with individuals, groups, and businesses as well. It's important to note that when money, tokens, or vouchers are used as a general medium of exchange, there's a risk of glossing over their true backing or commitment. One would not want a telecom top-up credit to become the only medium of exchange for everyone, as the simple failure of that company, a single point of failure, would be at risk of crashing the entire system. While any individual formalized commitment, like telecom airtime, could theoretically act as a general medium of exchange, given enough general demand, a polycentric, interconnected network of pooled commitments can provide more robustness and resilience. Rotating labour traditions like Mueria teach us that commitments can be pooled in order to be exchangeable for one another. These systems of exchangeable commitments are fundamentally different in many ways from monetary systems. Commitments can also be commitments of reputation, which represent the proof of past actions. We can think of commitments as existing along a continuum of time. This continuum ties together both forward-looking commitments and past-looking commitments, otherwise known as validations of completed actions, under the same concept of trust and obligation. Both future and past commitments can also be pooled, creating shared resources of promises for the future and valuing proofs of past commitment. Commitments of reputation, acknowledging completed actions. Commitments of reputation are validations that a valuable action has already been performed, serving as proof that a past obligation was fulfilled. Examples include certificates, attestations, receipts, badges, testimonials, and acknowledgements. They serve as records or verification demonstrating the fulfillment of a promise. They establish accountability and trust by providing evidence of contribution or value created. One could choose to give access to a commons based on reputation via certifications. Basic income programs often want to certify that the person is a living human before they can get access to a basic income pool. Groups can also pool certificates or attestations, such as proofs of completed work or environmental actions, for example, tree planting certificates, creating shared accountability and recognition. Certificates like carbon credits are sometimes used as a medium of exchange, similar to people trading signed baseball cards. It's important to remember that a pool full of these has little impetus for future action and is likely to stagnate. Balancing past and future commitment is something we will discuss in the next reflection. An economy built only on proofs of past action says little about the future. For example, a labour-sharing network might pool future commitments to work, vouchers for hours pledged, alongside attestations for past work done, certificates of hours fulfilled. These pools can be drawn upon as needed, creating a commons of commitments that sustains ongoing cooperation. By treating commitments, both future and past, as resources that can be pooled, communities and networks can build stronger, more adaptive systems of trust and reciprocity. This aligns with both ancient traditions and modern technologies, such as decentralized ledgers, which can formalize these processes for broader applications. Shared reflections. Mapping commitments. Using your journal, consider commitments you have made, whether formal or informal. Think of your consulting job or job contract. What are the terms and conditions? Are those commitments transferable? And, if so, to whom and when? List commitments you have made in the past week. For example, services, goods, or promises. Divide them into commitments to future delivery. For example, I agreed to tutor someone next week. And certificates for completed actions. For example, I helped organize a community event. Vouchers versus certificates. Imagine a tree planting project in your area. 1. Create a mock voucher for future tree planting. What does the voucher promise? An example might be to plant a number of trees. Over what time period is this promise valid? Could you give such a voucher to someone as a gift? Could you sell it? Create a mock certificate for trees already planted. What would be written on such a certificate? Number of trees planted? Location? Types of trees? Would you sign it as proof that you verified that someone planted a tree? Could you award this certificate to someone? Could this certificate give someone access to other resources or prizes? Let's do a pool building role play. Consider the four protocol functions of curation, valuation, limitation, and exchange, and how they relate to your life and resources. Think about under what conditions you or others have access to various resources, like a gym or a school. Think as well about the conditions under which you give other people access to your resources, your time, your services, your attention. Think of two separate pools created by different stewards. For example, imagine two pools, one for gift cards of vegetarian restaurants and yoga achievement certificates, and one for environmental volunteer hours and children's activities. Draw these two pools as circles on a piece of paper and place into it, or seed, a mix of what you think are appropriate vouchers and certificates. Role play as members of a community, drawing lines on the paper to indicate trading commitments to provide goods or services or certificates of past actions to access the resources in the pool. Reflect on how these systems build trust and sustain relationships, and how the pools could connect.